Welcome to the Business Shop Podcast, where our guests speak on meeting the challenges of entrepreneurship, as well as offer tips and advice on business, marketing, technology, and more. Whether you are a newbie or a seasoned professional, this episode is for you. I am your host, Audrey Wiggins.
Let's chop it up.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, Chop Squad. I'm excited today to chop it up with Darlene Perday, who is passionate about empathetic and relational sales. I know you're excited to hear about that today. But Darlene equips business coaches and entrepreneurs with the strategy and confidence to sell their services. Empathetic selling and relationship building are the core of who she is as a person. She has created a unique approach to business development that has been widely successful for her and her clients. Darlene lives in the Orlando area with her husband of 30 years, Jay. They have a daughter, Taylor. And when not working, she loves spending time with her family, cooking up a storm for family and friends. I want to be your new friend. Tackling do-it-yourself home projects and exploring Florida. And that's a great state to definitely explore. So, Darlene, thank you for joining us today. And let's chop it up.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on, Audrey.
Yes, absolutely. So I know in our documentation, you know, I always ask like what problem you're trying to solve for your clients or constituents and what is that? Let's get the chop going.
Yeah. So I work with a lot of entrepreneurs, and over the years, I found a commonality with, especially with business coaches and service providers, where when they're a solopreneur, they have to do it all, but they're great at what they do. And then all of a sudden they're putting on the sales hat and it's becoming awkward, inauthentic. They feel salesy, they feel pushy, and they're not seeing the results that maybe they once had. And that's where I come in.
Okay. So what does that look like when you're coaching someone? You know, do they come in and say, oh my God, I just feel salesy, slimy. Can you get this off of me?
Yes, for sure. For sure. So typically I work with coaches that have been established, and the way they typically grow their business is through referrals, word of mouth, and that type of thing where they're just having conversations and people are working with them. And then they get to a level where now there's outside interest, there's people reaching out, and for some reason, they are freezing up and they're thinking, okay, now I have to have a sales call. So what I do is I come alongside of them with an individualized approach. Sales doesn't happen in a vacuum. So I start by looking overall, what is their offering? What is their website? What is their social media? I do a high level bird's eye view of their whole business. I don't do it all, so I can recommend if they need their website revamped or, you know, someone to help them with their copy or messaging. And then I take a deeper dive into their sales cycle. What does that look like? How they can authentically and relationally share their value offering, follow up, build a sales funnel, where there's a method, but it's also custom to them.
Okay. So then what is actually empathetic selling then?
So empathetic selling is just the way I've always sold. When I deal with anyone, I don't like selling. Like it's so funny because I always say like, I'm the only salesperson that doesn't like selling, right? Right. I like helping people. I like understanding people. I like knowing what their story is. So empathetic selling is really just doing that. It's putting yourself in that person's position, understanding what they need. When you understand what they need, you can confidently share when you are the right solution. And that gives you more confidence to offer that. If you're not what they need, knowing referral partners and different things and telling them I'm not your right solution gives you trust and credibility as well. So it's saying no to the wrong people that you're not right for, and also putting yourself in that person's position to get them the best help that they need.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then I can see that person referring you down the road to someone who really does, you know, fit your niche, yeah, or your niche there.
Yes.
And that is because you're always, you talk about sales, and because we all know our product or our task or, you know, whatever, we're the subject matter expert. If you're talking about coaches or so, whatever it is that we're building or creating. So how do we really get out of that discomfort? You know, how do we get out of that and get into a zone of comfort? When you said just sharing, you know, listening to what the prospect is telling us and formulating our response, maybe not, you know, like, you know, the total package right on the spot. Of course, we always go back and do a proposal.
Yeah.
What is that language? Or because sometimes people say, oh yeah, we can do that, you know, for you, or, you know, because then you talk about bringing solutions.
So I think like there's a few things. First and foremost, you have to know what is your unique value? What is your offer? What are you bringing to the table? And also, who is your perfect client? You don't want to sell everybody. When you want to sell everyone, especially when it's coaching or something like that, you start to operate out of fear and scarcity versus that generous mindset. So understanding, I'm not for everyone. This is who I can serve well, and really understanding that, that's first and foremost. So you have to know, like, you have to do the deep dive and the work to know who you are, who you can serve best. Then instead of having sales calls have the connotation of it either ends in a sale or it's a no. That's it. I have discovery calls with clients. Okay. So I actively listen. Again, that's where the empathy comes in. I actively listen to what their needs are. I put myself in their position and I really try to work through, am I the best solution? If I am, I share that. And like I said, if I'm not, I can refer them. So the end of the conversation is not just a sale or not a sale. That could be a no, I'm no right now. I need to put a couple of other things in place before I come back to you. Or this isn't really for me, but you know what? I know a friend that would use you. So there's a lot of different building that relationship and building that trust. Mm-hmm. Should be your goal for that conversation versus sale versus no sale.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So have you ever run across a client that you're trying to go through, you know, your process of empathetic selling, and you're asking questions, you're probing, and it seems like they have a guard up because maybe they don't understand, well, why is she asking me all these questions? Or and how did you handle that type of situation?
So, you know, I've sold for many, many years. And so I've come across it all. I do my homework when I'm meeting with someone. I try to go on their website, their LinkedIn. You can get like a little bit, I mean, obviously that's their professional type of, you know, forward-facing mm-hmm. person, but you can get glimpses into who they are and you try to meet them and find some commonality, right? Because even though we're all so different, usually there's something, you know, whether it's a place that they lived, whether or not they had a dog in a picture, whether they have kids, you know, you can meet them where they are and kind of get them off guard, mm-hmm. not in a manipulative way, but just to say, listen, I'm not just trying to shove a solution down your throat. Like, you know, where are your pain points? Listen, like actively listening, and then either sharing stories of someone else that you've helped that have been in that situation, or putting yourself in that position of where you've received help by a solution that you may be offering.
So then how can we get rid of the fear behind the sales process?
So I think it starts with really being vulnerable and not looking at it as a yes or a no. When you realize that that conversation, the people that are saying no to your service, like that they do not need it, then you're eliminating people because the people you want to bring in are the people that you're going to be able to serve well. So the fear comes when people feel like they have to say certain things, hit the certain keywords, There's so many different selling techniques and webinars and different things out there that they're like, oh, if I use this formula, I will be able to close 80% of deals, right? To me, that doesn't work. It's not authentic. So I think when somebody is operating where they feel authentic, they feel more confidence because really what they're doing is talking about what they're passionate about, and that's the service that they're providing. So when it's looked at like, I'm just going to share what I do and how I help people versus I need to close this deal, it takes that pressure off. It takes the fear out of it, right?
Yeah. So what if, what's your recommendation on stating prices or if not like as the salesperson automatically like saying what a price, you know, what something costs, but when the person sitting across from us, the prospect starts to begin to ask about, you know, pricing, you know, how do we respond back to that?
So, I mean, everybody wants to know, like, you don't want to sit there and go on and on for 3 hours about your service when they can never afford you, right? Like, because that's just wasting their time as well. You want to be respectful of the time. So what I do is, you know, I bring it up again. I usually share the value that I bring first, and then I bring up the pricing. But for example, I just had a conversation with someone last week, and they really did not need the intensive that I offered. They really didn't need all the aspects of it. It wasn't the typical coach. Usually I sell, you know, the people that I'm working with are higher ticket coaches. He had a little bit different service. He was lower. And I was like, you know what? I can help you, but you don't need everything I have to offer. Let me go back and revise it to make sense for what your need is. And then I sent him a proposal according to that. So it's not where he was coming back and saying like, that's too expensive and I'm cheapening my value. Mm-hmm. My value is my value, but he didn't need all the aspects of it so I could revise the package according to what his needs are. But then there's some people that I talk to that I'll be like, I want to be respectful of your time. I'm happy to listen to what you need, but I'm probably not going to be the greatest solution for you. These are where my packages are and that type of thing. And they respect that because they don't want to waste their time. And, you know, they want to understand that, you know, nobody wants to be sold on a Ferrari and only afford a Volkswagen, right?
Oh, that's right. Oh, my goodness. So do you offer pre-consulting or because and not necessarily, well, maybe it is your discovery call to even see if there's a fit.
I have a free consultation, which is the discovery call. They're okay. Discovering what I do. I'm discovering what they need. And if it is a good fit and they want to work with me, that's great. I have a lot of clients that are in my pipeline where they're like, I know I'm going to need you. I'm just not there yet. I see your value, but I just need to have X, Y, and Z first or whatever it may look like. So, and that's okay. You want to be respectful of the journey that everybody has. And I never put that fear in, like, unless you work with me, you're not going to succeed. That's ridiculous, right?
Right.
So, like me putting, like, there's a lot of sales tactics that say, like, you know, create that pain point, create that timeline that they have to by a certain time. Listen, I'm dealing with people that created a business. They're amazing in what they do. They just need a little help. I can help them get to the next level for sure, but that looks different for everybody. And there's no, you know, there's no urgency. It's as much as it's as quickly as they want to grow their business of where they have the money to invest.
All right, then. So two words that are important to me in business. One is networking and follow up. Those two concepts. And so now we've had our discovery call. We've decided that we're going to meet or not meet. So the ones we're meeting with, we're talking. We've got proposals together. So what does that look like now? Or not really what does it look like, but what's the importance of networking and follow up in this whole process?
Yeah. So for me, follow up is 1000% what has made me successful in my career. I can have great calls. Everybody's in a different buying process, a timeline. There's a lot of different moving parts for everyone. So what I find is a lot of my clients are not following up. They're like, well, they said no. I don't know. We had a great call, but they said no. But it could be not right now, right? Unless you're in front of them, if they truly, now sometimes, again, if they're not for you, they're not for you. That's something completely different. But if they are for you, I follow up until somebody tells me, take me off your list or whatever that may be. Not in an obnoxious way. I'm not calling them every week or whatever. I kind of get a sense of where are they at? And I ask them, what's your decision-making timeline look like? You know, how did you feel about this offering? Does it look like something that, you know, and I have a lot of people say, you know what, I love it, but it's probably going to have to be Q3 or something like that. That's when I reach back out and I'll ask them, hey, can I reach out to you towards the end of Q2 and we can chat about it? And if you need me beforehand, reach out. So every touch point I'm giving them is something of value, whether it's a tip, whether it's a client testimonial, whether it's something that they can use. So this way I'm not just, hey, are you going to buy from me yet? Hey, are you going to use my services yet? So those touch points are so important. I saw a statistic that said 70% of people do not follow up. 70%.
That's high.
It's insane to me. But also, you know, within that other 30%, there's people that follow up once or twice. And I have clients that literally I've spoken to 3 years ago, be like, I'm ready to go. They'll be like, oh, you remember me. And I'm like, okay, yes. And then like, I do, but I'm like, wait, when did I talk to you? You know, it could be like literally 3 years later, but then they're ready to go. Right. So, you know, so it's important to for follow-up. As far as networking, I love collaboration. I love learning from people. There's so many amazing entrepreneurs out there that, you know, you can learn from so many people, younger, older, different industries. There's always something to glean from someone. So I'm like an information, I'm obsessed with information. So I have virtual coffees all the time with people, picking their brain. I collaborate with people. I also love to have an incredible network because I like to help people. So if I am not your solution, I want to make sure I can hand you off to somebody who is going to be a great fit for you, at least to have that conversation. And they're going to operate just like I do and let you know if they're not the right solution. So it brings value because I have people that have never used me. Mm-hmm. They'll call me and they'll be like, I need a new website designed or I need this. They know I'm the go-to girl because I'll get you to the right person. And while they've never used me, they've recommended me and I've worked with people they have because I've built that trust and that relationship with them.
Yep. There it goes again. People do business with people they like and trust.
Trust is the first thing. Nobody wants to feel like they're being sold. And nobody wants to feel like you are just a voice on the other side. And if you're not interested, you're off the face of the earth. People want to feel valued.
I know I went to an event the other week, and at the end, you know, they asked people, we're going to pass out some surveys, you know, let us know what you think we did right or did wrong and or what we can do better. And then they went on to ask, even in that same survey, as you know, and give us the names of, you know, people that, you know, that should have been at this event or use our services. It's like, well, those people, this means you're going to be cold calling people that don't know you. And they say, so I don't want people to like to use my name and say, well, Audrey, because you never know how they're going to present it. She referred you or are they going to say she attended an event and she gave us your name as a potential client who may can use our service up. And that made me real uncomfortable. And in that same form, of course, was the the video release form. And so it was all of it was wrapped up in the same form. And that made me real uncomfortable.
That it does. That's where it gets icky, right? Because you don't want to just start putting people on a mailing list. Anytime I make a referral to somebody, first of all, I ask that person like, hey, I know an amazing person who can do a website. If you have your own people, that's great. But if you need a resource, I can at least introduce you. Talk to Lisa. She'll help you if she's not the right person. You know, I don't just refer to anybody, and I don't do it because of referral fees or anything like that. I think that helps with the business. And it's not that I don't use that within my business, but I never do it because that's my reputation.
That's right.
Online of who you're passing that person to. So making sure you have that person's permission that they want to be introduced to someone else, give the other person a little bit of a heads up on, you know, hey, I spoke to so-and-so and they're going to be reaching out for X, Y, and Z. This is what they need. I don't know if they're the right fit for you, but I know you'll take good care of them. So really making sure that that handoff does not get to that icky stage where somebody's just going to be spammed.
Right, right. Because, you know, at the end of the day, we're all in business to make money, but we have to respect, you know, respect one another and respect our, you know, our desires and our privacy as well, because there's a lot of, it's enough strangers out here.
You know, we're all inundated with so much information.
Yes.
You know, another email link and newsletter that comes into your inbox, it could be the best thing, but you just don't, if you don't have time, you don't have time.
Yeah. And then, you know, then it fills up around the important stuff that you need to pay attention to. And you're just scanning real fast going through, right?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. So what advice then would you have? I know you've pretty much been giving advice the whole time, but what, you know, what are some of those real important nuggets that stand out for you that you'd want to leave us with?
Each individual has their uniqueness about them. Mm-hmm. I do not teach a one size fits all. I don't believe that there is a magic. There's good principles, obviously, and guidelines, but I feel like putting those guidelines up and having the person operate authentically, that's really where they shine, mm-hmm. is when they make it their own and they're unapologetic for it. Because I'm certainly not, you know, I'm not for everybody, right? And I'm old enough to not care.
Right. Like my feelings won't get hurt.
Exactly. You know, but also like when I have tried years gone by of emulating someone's system or whatever that did not feel authentic to me, and I convinced myself that somebody knew more than I did. And I'm not saying I know it all. It's just that when you operate intuitively and really trust your instincts and your gut, you're usually right. And that's the biggest joy that I have with what I do is really empowering that person to operate uniquely for them and giving them permission to be themselves and take that pressure off of trying to do it right or wrong.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Darlene, how can we get in touch with you? Give us your website. And if someone, you know, does want to take advantage of that that discovery call, that'll be awesome. So let us know how to do that.
Absolutely. So they can go to dp-consults.com. And there is a form that they can fill out and I'll schedule a discovery call. There's no obligation. They can also connect with me on LinkedIn and I will reply. And if they're just interested in hearing more or, you know, would like to schedule a coffee chat, I'm happy to do so.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate the time that you spent with us and looking forward to hearing, you know, more from you and what you're doing. I definitely will reach out to you myself on LinkedIn so we can stay connected. And with, you know, we build our networks, build our net worth.
Okay. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your time, Audrey. It was a pleasure.
Awesome. You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to The Business Chop. We hope that you were able to glean valuable information from our guest and that you will download and share this podcast. Your rating and review is much appreciated. To go deeper with our guests, please visit their website and social channels. To learn more about us, please visit businesschop.info or altogether.biz, where we will help you expand your brand.